Speaking with national best-selling author, explorer, and anthropologist Wade Davis. How are you doing today?
Hey, Rob. How are you?
Good. So you're going to be in Banff on Friday, April 22nd as part of the Frontline Environmental Reportage Series at the Banff Center. What are you going to be presenting?
An account of the sacred headwaters in northern British Columbia, which is sort of a remarkable area of the country, not known to too many, but arguably the most beautiful place I've ever seen in all of my travels. The three great salmon rivers of British Columbia, the Stikine, the Skeen, and the Nass, are all born in these meadows in remarkably close proximity. It's an area that has been the site of a number of environmental struggles, if you will, between Tall Tan people and supporters in the non-native community and various industrial interests that have had projects in the area. But I think the biggest story is the fact that the British Columbia government, anticipating industrial development that in fact has not been realized, spent $1 billion extending the power grid into northwest British Columbia. And in the end, it really ended up servicing the interests of only a single company, Imperial Metals, owned by Marie Edwards, who is a former colleague of mine, actually, on the Banff Center board. The mine in question, Imperial's record, particularly at Mount Polly, a sort of sister mine, which had had in 2014 in August, the biggest mining disaster really in the history of Canada. So there's been a lot of controversy, a lot of questions, a lot of concerns, I think, what I'll be presenting to the people in Banff.
What's your role in this? Like, have you done a lot of research on this particular area and why are you so fascinated by it?
Yeah, Rob, I wrote a book called The Sacred Headwaters. I mean, it was actually a fantastic project. There's a group called the International League of Conservation Photographers. One of our challenges was just to get Canadians to know about this country. You know, we all love the North in Canada, but we rarely go there. You know, we forget the immensity of this landscape. So to give you an idea, furthest you can get away from maintained road in the United States in the lower 48 is 20 miles, whereas in the northwest quadrant of British Columbia, an area of land the size of Oregon, is one road, the Stuart-Cassiar Highway. And this is country that was pretty isolated until quite recently. That road was only completed in the mid-1970s. And so this is really represents one of the great expanses of wild country in all of Canada. I first went into that country as a kid, really, as a park ranger in the biggest wilderness park called the Spatsizi Wilderness, which had been established in 1975. And my job description is sort of deliciously vague. It's a roadless wilderness park of a couple million hectares. And my job description was sort of wilderness assessment and public relations in 2 four-month seasons. I think I saw 12 people, so there was no one to relate publicly to. And wilderness assessment was just sort of a license to ramble. And I fell in love with the country. And in 1987, after a short hiatus, I went back up there with my wife, Gail, and did a series of really extraordinary backcountry adventures. And we bought that summer a fishing lodge on Yalooey Lake. That lodge is the closest private holding to the Red Chris mine on Todigan Mountain. So it's a classic case of both country that I love, but an impact literally in one's backyard. So naturally, because of my close relationships to so many of the Tall Tan friends of mine, I became wrapped up in that effort. And one of the things that we wanted to do is simply show the rest of Canada and the world what this country really was about. And since we couldn't get Canadians to go up there, we brought there to the Canadians in the sense that we, through the International League of Conservation Photographers, we brought in five of the top wildlife photographers and nature photographers in the world, raised the funds to support them with helicopters, and from their work compiled this really quite beautiful book called The Sacred Headwaters, which is an account of the efforts, a description of the country, its ethnography, its history, the wonder of what it is, together with these, what I think is fair to say is probably the most beautiful collection of images ever assembled in a single volume of the Canadian landscape.
Frontline Environmental Reportage, obviously the Banff Center focusing on the environment here with this series. You know, it seems that we have a federal government and some provincial governments that are recognizing the effects of climate change and maybe working towards change. Are you encouraged by what you're seeing in Canada today?
Absolutely. Certainly at the federal level, we have a voice in the Prime Minister, who is a man who clearly cares about the Canadian landscape, cares about these issues, has rebooted Canada's reputation internationally. But we still have this fundamental conflict where it's not really a conflict between elements of our society as much as it's a conflict between the past and the future. In other words, what kind of economy are we going to create in Canada? And we continue to be driven predominantly by resource extraction. And I've felt for years that this is really not a question of a lack of economic options, but rather of a dearth of imagination on the part of the leaders that we choose to elect. I mean, when you think of Canada, we have a small population. We have one of the best educational systems in the world. We have an incredibly sophisticated public. And we know that the beauty of our country is rare in all the world, and one of our greatest assets will be an asset that will only accrue in value as more and more of the rest of the world is trampled and violated. And yet we continue to sort of insist that the only way we can generate a national economy is tearing down our mountains, tearing down our forests, and so on. And I just think that the whole nation has to move towards a knowledge-based economy and do what we can to extract ourselves from this history of depending on natural resources as a foundation of our economy. It's not something that can be done overnight. We pander to the resource extractive industries. And again, I'm not against any of those industries, but I do not think those individual companies should be pandered to. And in the case of this transmission line, the Canadian public is on the hook for close to $1 billion to bring power north, the beneficiary of which is one single open pit copper and gold mine owned by Murray Edwards on top of a mountain that was a wildlife sanctuary in the sky, home to the largest population of stone sheep on the planet and an incredible concentration of resident predators. There are places to put mines and there are places not to put mines. In the case of the Red Chris mine, it strikes me as being the equivalent of drilling for oil in the Sistine Chapel. But the mine exists. How it came into being is somewhat of a dark story, and how this power line was subsidized should be seen as a national scandal. Amongst many things, of the original $400 million budget, $130 million came from the Green Infrastructure Fund in Ottawa under the previous Harper government. The official rationale for the inclusion of those funds, funds set aside by Parliament to green our national economy, the rationale was that the power line, by extending electricity to the small Tahltan community of Iskut, a community of 350 people, that it would somehow get them off diesel generation and lower their carbon footprint, albeit at a per capita cost to the Canadian public of $400,000. And of course, in building that right away alone for the expansion of the power grid to that part of British Columbia, we burned the equivalent of 14,000 log trucks of wood. That alone put into the air the equivalent of the carbon production of that small native village by several hundred fold. So the whole thing was sort of done in this sort of remarkably cynical way, almost as if no one was watching.
Frontline Environmental Reportage with Wade Davis, Friday, April 22nd, 7:30 at the Max Bell Auditorium. Should be a compelling presentation about the sacred headwaters of British Columbia. Tickets are $15. Get them at the Banff Centre box office and banffcentre.ca. Wade, thanks so much for chatting with me today. That was great.
My pleasure.